Imagine standing in front of a magnificent structure, perhaps the Sistine Chapel or an iPhone, and wondering, how was this created? We've long believed that greatness springs from either innate talent or relentless practice. But there's a third, more accessible path that's been hiding in plain sight. When Steve Jobs visited Xerox PARC in 1979, he didn't just admire their graphical interface. He reverse-engineered it, improved it, and transformed personal computing forever. This wasn't theft. It was the fundamental process behind innovation. Even as Jobs later fumed at Bill Gates for stealing Apple's ideas, the irony was clear. Jobs himself had built his empire by decoding others' breakthroughs. This pattern repeats across industries. Dell computers, Google Docs, and countless technologies emerge through systematically examining existing products. The most successful innovators aren't necessarily the most original thinkers. They're the most perceptive pattern recognizers who can see beneath the surface to understand how excellence is constructed. The journey to greatness often begins with collecting. Andy Warhol amassed artwork, David Bowie hoarded records, Julia Child collected cookbooks, and Ernest Hemingway built a personal library exceeding 9,000 volumes. This isn't mere hoarding, it's strategic immersion. When we surround ourselves with excellence, we begin to absorb patterns unconsciously, developing what psychologists call implicit learning. Our brains naturally detect structures and formulas without conscious effort. Pattern collecting enhances our ability to recognize mastery and understand influences. Todd Wilber built his success by reverse engineering popular foods through methodical kitchen experiments. Musicians use tools like Capo to decode songs, while writers study bestsellers to uncover structural patterns from Aristotle to Vonnegut. Top entrepreneurs like Bezos and Branson excel at pattern recognition, connecting past successes with current opportunities through mental databases of proven blueprints. When Steve Ells launched Chipotle, he simply adapted Bay Area taqueria concepts to Denver, spotting an overlooked pattern. Jennifer Mueller's research shows people often reject highly creative ideas, explaining why groundbreaking work like Radiohead's Kid A initially faced resistance, while their conventional music maintained higher sales. Harvard research found grant proposals with modest novelty were most successful. This reflects Mad Men's Don Draper's insight that audiences want something derivative with a twist, familiar enough to feel comfortable, but fresh enough to intrigue, what Harvard professor Kareem Lakhani calls optimal newness. The most compelling innovations come from combining existing elements in unexpected ways. Quentin Tarantino mixed lesser-known genres into dialogue-driven films. The Doors blended Latin rhythms with jazz and Bach for Light My Fire. And Steve Jobs merged MP3 players with phones to create the iPhone. As Matt Ridley says, creativity is what happens when ideas have sex. Marvel exemplifies this by bringing directors from outside the superhero genre, introducing fresh perspectives while maintaining core elements. Success comes from building a diverse network of influences rather than pursuing pure originality. The gap between taste and ability can be frustrating. Ira Glass notes that beginners have good taste but get discouraged when their early work falls short. Even accomplished novelist Ann Patchett describes how her beautiful butterfly of an idea gets crushed when attempting to capture it on paper. This taste-ability gap should be embraced. Having good taste is harder to develop than technical skill. Whether shaped by genetics, economics, or psychology, understanding what moves you is essential for producing extraordinary work. As Jonathan Safran Foer notes, great writers distinguish themselves through knowing what personally resonates with them. What gets measured gets improved. The Ritz-Carlton exemplifies this by training staff to address unexpressed needs. Rather than simply confirming the hotel has a coffee shop, employees proactively offer solutions. Yes, would you like me to text you the menu? A practice that maintains their luxury status. Tracking naturally leads to optimization. Food diaries double weight loss through awareness, while time tracking reveals inefficiencies. This drive to measure aligns with our numbers instinct, as researcher Andreas Nieder notes, which video games leverage through scoring systems. Growth requires experimentation, yet many organizations fear mistakes. Smart risk-taking involves low-stakes testing. Politicians practice speeches at senior centers. Scott Adams refined Dilbert through reader feedback, and Liz Winstead tests comedy on Twitter. Pseudonyms enable risk-taking experimentation. The Rolling Stones practiced as the Cockroaches, while The Gap uses different brands for varied audiences. Sometimes bold risks succeed dramatically, like Bill Gates promising Altair 8800 software before development, leading to Microsoft's creation through BASIC. Marlon Brando's bizarre behavior at a 2001 acting seminar, where he appeared in drag and watched Samoan wrestlers, illustrates a crucial truth. Experts often make poor teachers. Top performers, including legendary athletes like Magic Johnson and Wayne Gretzky, who failed as coaches, rarely understand what makes them exceptional. The curse of knowledge makes it difficult for experts to imagine not knowing what they know. Richard Clark's research reveals experts typically omit 70% of critical steps in instructions because their actions are unconscious. To learn from experts effectively, use three question types: journey, what mistakes did you make? Process, what specific steps do you take? And discovery, what surprised you most? Harvard studies show asking for advice outperforms requesting feedback, generating 50% more improvement ideas by focusing on future possibilities. While beginners seek praise, experts prefer negative feedback. Success comes from converting criticism into specific corrective actions, engaging the brain's reward system rather than pain centers. Science fiction writer Theodore Sturgeon's assertion that 90% of everything is crud suggests that if you find most work excellent, your standards need refinement. The gap between vision and ability should feel uncomfortable. That tension drives growth. When your work disappoints, it signals discerning taste rather than failure. Roger Federer's 2017 comeback exemplifies targeted improvement. During a six-month break, he analyzed his game and focused on his backhand weakness. He returned to win the Australian Open against Nadal with 14 backhand winners, a 350% improvement through earlier shots, harder hits, and flatter swings. For effective improvement tracking, maintain balanced metrics across behaviors and outcomes, timeframes, and both positive and negative indicators. Adjust these measures as your skills evolve. Vincent van Gogh became a master painter in just 10 years through systematic techniques, deconstructing models, analyzing diverse works, combining influences, experimenting, and practicing at his limits. The path to greatness isn't reserved for natural talent. It's available to anyone who applies these principles deliberately. Study exceptional examples, identify what makes great work distinctive, and reverse engineer success. Evolve proven formulas by incorporating fresh influences. See the gap between your taste and ability as motivation. Focus on key metrics, experiment incrementally, and push beyond your comfort zone. We live in an era of unprecedented creative resources. Greatness comes from recognizable patterns waiting to be decoded. By learning to see and apply these patterns, you gain the power to create excellence yourself. What will you build with these blueprints?